Hello, my magical friends. My name's Ayumi. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And you're listening to Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Whether it's your first or 108th time listening, we welcome you to our space to celebrate magical girls from every corner of the world. We have some news, and I watched some stuff, and then we'll get to today's topic. So first in the news, Lock and Key, an indie magical girl game produced by Studio Elan, released a demo last week. You can now check out the sample of their game prior to its official release. I haven't tried it yet, but my understanding is it is a mystery game and is about magical girls who were fighting together and now as they're older, they are coming back to fight again. Next, Flavor Girls, a comic by Loic Locatelli from Boom Studios, will release its first issue on July 13th. We don't know much beyond its, you know, superheroine premise, but the art is lovely and looks very exciting. Finally, in the world of Japanese comics, we got two comics released last week. Magical Girl Risuka Volume 4 and Black Cat in the Witch's Classroom, also printed as The Classroom of a Black Cat and a Witch. The former is a comic adaptation of the four-volume light novel series by Nishio Ishin, illustrated by Nao Emoto. It's a Lovecraft-inspired series in an alternate reality where Nagasaki is a magic city walled off from the rest of the country, and a girl named Risuka is looking for her father, a wizard, with the help of a boy from her school. I don't know a whole lot about this particular series, but it certainly looks interesting. It's very striking. The latter series is, of course, I think we announced it back when they released the very first chapter, but this is the first volume, and this is a Yosuke Kaneda comic. He previously did Boarding School Juliet, so people who are buying the comic over in Japan get a nice free picture of the main character of this story along with Juliet. If you don't know Boarding School Juliet, at least her voice actress is very important if you watch Precure right now. Anyway, so those just came out, so people can get started on those. I will be reading the latter at the very least, just because my spouse already bought a copy. They're a big fan of Juliet, so they're enjoying the series too. Okay, so let's move on to what I've been watching. So, of course, the big news last week was the premiere of Tokyo Mew Mew New, episode 1, was such a hit. It broke High Dive, which is very exciting. That's when you know a series is beloved. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was able to stay up on Tuesday night to watch it at midnight, and that is what I intend to do for the rest of its airing, because otherwise I have to wait until the 9th and we just simply can't have that. But yeah, that's just a matter of the way that they are airing the series on TV for a while and then putting it on streaming. But yes, so I enjoyed it a lot, and it seems like everyone else did too, and I really am so happy to see just how much people are excited about this show. And you know, I had already seen the digest, so most of the episode was not new to me, but just seeing it like as it was meant to be was very exciting. And the opening and endings were so perfect as well. Just, oh, I could gush about it forever. But yes, I'm very happy to see it thriving. I'm very happy to see its popularity. And I hope that this means we'll have a billion episodes. That being said, we do know now, because they released sales information about the Blu-rays for this series. Due to that, we know that this will be a 12-episode series, which tells me this is likely going to be a multi-season show, but we don't know yet for sure. There's a lot up in the air there, but yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what comes of this. In any case, like, hopefully the excitement about this will show that there is a demand for magical girls all over the world. With that, of course, it's not the only exciting thing this week as far as currently airing seasons. Delicious Party Precure was very exciting. We had the reveal, the birth of our mid-season cure. She was wonderful. I was so moved. You know, whatever you feel about the show and about the character, you know, I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of interesting things from this series. And she was just so wonderful. It was a beautifully animated episode. And yeah, I had a great time. And then, of course, there we also had Rizusta, Top of Artists. So this series, I'm still talking about it week to week because it feels like something is happening that is giving me vibes of like, oh, maybe we're actually going in a still, not in a heroine, like fighting magical girl sense, but there is still some sort of battle going on. There's some sort of notion of good versus evil with these new characters that have appeared. So that's exciting. And I think we're going to get the first of our new castmates next week. So that's cool. Watcha Primaji, also a very big episode. It's just this whole week has been, there's so much going on. But yeah, we had the kind of finale of the little duo arc here, which was really interesting. And we already know there's going to be another core, another, you know, it's not season exactly when we talk about that, but in any case, we know there's going to be a new opening theme song in the future. So probably going to also be a new ending. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how this series continues, especially because, again, I'm so unaware of how Pretty Series works, because these shows have like so many more episodes than like a Precure or Mucal Dreamy. So I don't know what to expect, but it's exciting. Yes. And finally, She-Ra. Season 2 was 7 episodes and season 3 was 6 episodes. And they didn't really feel that different. Like it kind of, they wove together very easily. And so they probably could have just been one season the way it was. But in any case, had a really great time, really enjoying the lore. There's a lot of new stuff and the characters are just continuing to be more and more wonderful. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed watching those two. I believe there are still 2 more seasons to go, so we will see what happens next. But I do have to get to more shows for the podcast. So with that, that's everything I've been watching. So we're going to move on to today's topic. So everyone, we are still in the 90s this week. You know, there's always interesting connections to be made week to week between series, and you know, this show is no different. It's been very interesting to see how my journey in understanding and exploring the concept of Phantom Thief Magical Girls, which at the start of this podcast, I had never watched a single one, and now I have watched the most recent one, Phantom Mirage, and I have read some Kamikaze Kaito Jun, and now I have watched Saint Tail. Kaito Saint Tail is what we're talking about today from 1995, and I am so excited. I am totally obsessed with the series, and I don't really like think about things about like, kicking myself because I haven't seen it sooner. Obviously, life happens, but I am just so delighted by how much I love this series, and I also just, I'm really glad that I was able to watch it. And that's also thanks to, of course, our guest, Cami. She was so lovely to talk to about this series and just is generally a really delightful person. So I am really excited to share with you this conversation about Saint Tail. Before we get into things, we do have to give a slight warning. This series does have one instance of really homophobic behavior, kind of queerphobic, transphobic, like kind of all those things wrapped in once. It happens once in one episode. Unfortunately, it's an important episode, so, and it is early on. So just keep that in mind when you watch the series. But otherwise, I think that's everything we have to talk about up top here. But I am, yeah, just super excited. This series is very unique in a lot of ways for its time, and also just generally became something that was a huge influence to this really interesting little subgenre of magical girls that really we need a billion more of, honestly. I'm going to definitely soak up all the ones that are out there and get back to you on that. But yeah. So with that, I think that we're all finished. So let's get into the conversation with Cami about Kaito Saint Tail. So we are here today to talk about Saint's Tale or Kaito Saint's Tale from 1995. And I'm very excited to get to know our guest today. Can you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, my name is Cami. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I currently work as a children's librarian and I am a lifelong fan of Magical Girls.
Yeah, awesome. Well, let's get right into that then. So what is your history with Magical Girls?
My history is pretty similar to a lot of other folks that are my age, and this will indicate it pretty clearly, but I grew up in a pretty like male-dominated household with a lot of like sports focus and a lack of like strong female characters. And one day I turned on the TV and I saw Sailor Moon transforming, and it really just like opened up, you know, my eyes to just this possibility that I, you know, just girls that actually are the stars of their story and fight to do good and like promote love and justice. And it was really set from there. Sailor Moon was a big part of my life since I was about like 7 years old. And then as I got older and was more familiar with anime and manga, I got really, really into like Tokyo Mew Mew was a big one for me. And what was the other one I was thinking of? Cardcaptor Sakura and Mermaid Melody and Shugokara. It just kept going. The genre is really, really special to me personally. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I think that I just consider myself like my goal is to be like a lifelong magical girl. It's when I, you know, deal with challenges and stuff in life, I can turn to these characters and feel some motivation. And I'm a big person that promotes like kindness and caring to people. And I think that comes through in Magical Girls. So yeah, Sailor Moon just started a big trend for me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So these days, do you go back and like watch older stuff to feel nostalgic, or do you like to watch what's coming out, you know, now?
It's been a mixture, actually. So I'm trying to seek out older shows where I can. It's a little hard because there's not always, at least in North America, like a good streaming avenue for a lot of older Magical Girl shows.
Yeah.
But then also I've been getting into Precure in the past like 3 years or so. And that's a behemoth of a franchise.
Indeed.
Yeah. So as far as more modern Magical Girls, that's always kind of got me going. But I do like to go visit the older stuff. I also recently watched the first season of Ojamajo Doremi, which I just missed as a kid. So I like to check out both. And I do have like a very specific nostalgia and sentimentality for like the 90s stuff, even if I missed it as a kid. It just brings me back to that time. So yeah, both of them, I think.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you have any favorite Precure seasons so far?
So the first season I watched was Hugto Precure, and I loved Hugto Precure. It was just really impressive in a lot of ways. Did a lot of like things that I considered a little bit revolutionary for Magical Girl shows, just like how it amplified just some LGBT themes in there. And I think I was also biased to Hugto Precure because it was by Junichi Sato, I believe.
Yes.
And I love Junichi Sato. Princess Tutu is one of my all-time favorites as well. So that one was really good. I watched Kira Precure, which I thought was all right. I watched Star Twinkle, which was pretty good. I'm almost done with Heartcatch Precure, and I really love Heartcatch Precure as well. And then after Heartcatch, I'm going to go back to Go Princess. I've watched a few episodes, and Go Princess is so good. Just straight from the beginning, I was like, this is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm quite excited to go back to that one as well. I think that's going to be another big favorite. I think out of what I've seen so far, my big three are probably Hugto, Heartcatch, and Go Princess.
Very, you know, excellent choices, of course. Yeah.
There's so many to choose from. Have you seen all of them by now?
I've seen almost all of them. I've seen at least a little of every season, but I am currently in the middle of going back through. So I only have two more seasons I have to actually completely watch, and then I'll be done. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, and then I'm also watching Delicious Party. I think I'm a few episodes behind, but I was watching that one weekly as well, the currently airing one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good time to catch up then. Things are getting very exciting.
Oh, good. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Awesome. So just to get into today's topic. So Saint Tail, or Kaito Saint Tail, is a comic series by Megumi Tachikawa, which was pretty much concurrently adapted into an animated series in October 1995, and it stars Mamie Haneoka, who's a 14-year-old student at St. Paulia's private school, and she wanders the streets at night taking things from people who had stolen them in the first place and returning them to their rightful owner in the name of God. Her closest confidant is Seida Mimori, who is a nun in training and also a classmate at school. And so she speaks in confidence to people who are praying to God for assistance and thus giving Saint Tail her work. And I do have to point out that one of the things that really sticks out to me about this series from the beginning is that there's no introduction to how this all starts.
Yes,
it just jumps right in.
I wanted to mention that too. Yeah, like I'd love to know how Seida just like got involved as kind of the confidant, but they don't really give us that.
Yeah. It's just going right in there. So the kind of actual beginning of the story does revolve around Daiki Asuka, who is called Asuka Jr. throughout the series. He is the son of the local police detective, and his father is not really like super gung-ho about trying to go after a phantom thief. So he decides that he's going to do it himself. And so Saint Tail promises to always let Asuka Jr. know when he's going to steal something to give him a fair chance at catching her. And so it becomes a little game between them, maybe a little romantic. So that's a lot of fun. Mm. also, another thing to point out off the top here is that Saint Tail's use of magic is a little ambiguous because of the fact that Mamie is the child of a magician and a former phantom thief. But yes, and then along the way we get different cases every week of, you know, things she has to take back from someone, and we get new characters that join the kind of main team of regulars, such as Rina Takamiya, who is the mayor's niece and who also wants to be a detective. So she's kind of in a weird rivalry with Asuka Jr. about catching Saint Tail first. And then there's also Manato Sawatari, who works for the newspaper club. I don't know if there are any other members. He's the only one who's shown. So who knows? But he's always looking for a scoop. So he's also trying to find Saint Tail.
Yes.
But yeah. So Kemi, what is your history with Saint Tail as a franchise?
So Saint Tail is something that, yeah, when I was maybe like 11 or 12 and I started to realize that my local library had manga, I would see it on the shelf with some other like shoujo manga. I actually never read it. Instead, I was really drawn to a different series by Megumi Tachikawa called Cyber Idol Mink.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which to me, for some reason, I feel like that's more like Full Moon Osagaste. It's probably more similar to that narrative-wise. I think it's just because she had pink hair, and I was just like, ooh, pink hair, she's so cute. I want to check her out. So I knew about Saint Tail, but for whatever reason, the aesthetic didn't stick out to me quite as much. But as I got older, and again, I started to revisit some older Magical Girl series, I got really interested in trying out Saint Tail. I forgot to mention it off the top, but I make AMVs, or anime music videos, as a hobby, and so there are a few select really, really good Saint Tail AMVs. And watching them as I got older, I was like, okay, I've really got to check this out. Like, I want to see it. So about maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was when, at least in North America, we started doing quarantining due to the pandemic, and I was just turning to anime to kind of keep myself afloat and in a good mood, and I watched all of Saint Tail, and it was just so enjoyable and charming, and it brought me back to a lot of that, like, childhood innocence that I love about Magical Girls, while also being innovative in a lot of interesting ways that I'm excited for us to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm kicking myself because I want to read the manga. And of course, it's like hard to find all of the published copies, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I know that it has been translated, but It's been a while, so I don't know how accessible the series is now, but I mean, there might be a possibility of future increased interest due to the sequel series that's a spinoff. Yeah. We'll see what happens there. I haven't heard anything, but you know, we're living in an age of like so many reboots, so it is very interesting to see what's going to come next.
Yes.
Yeah. It is definitely very fascinating, you know, as far as Phantom Thief, Magical Girls in particular. Like, there are some kind of Phantom Thief elements to some earlier Magical Girls, just slightly earlier, but this is like the first, like, really definitively, you know, Phantom Thief and labeled as such Magical Girl. And I think it is an interesting choice. And she's like a huge influence on just kind of how Phantom Thief Magical Girls even work. Because like even just a few years ago when we had, you know, Fandom Mirage, it was very, very focused on magic as like a kind of motif. And that's only because of Saint Tail. Like, there's no other reason to make that connection.
Yeah. The only other Phantom Thief that I can think of is Phantom Thief Jean or Phantom Thief Jean. But even then, like, and I only have a little bit of exposure to that one, but it was far less like magic trick based, you know? And even just the iconic look of like Saint Tail's outfit, like being all black and stuff, is just, yeah, it very much strikes a particular image. And I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, I do have to give like major props to the design of Saint Tail, because it is so simple and yet like so iconic.
Yes.
It's like a little it's a little tuxedo dress. It's just so cute, and she's got like the ribbon in her hair. It's really great.
I also love that she never like wears the top hat, but sometimes she'll just like have it, you know, as it's part of her transformation feature. And occasionally you'll see her like kind of tip her hat with it, but she never actually wears it. And I just think that's cute.
Yeah, because I mean, magicians don't wear hats. They use them to like take stuff out of it.
That's true, which she does. Oh, yes.
You know, generally every episode you expect to hear a story. Sometimes we actually directly hear we get the scene with Seda talking to whomever was robbed, and then her regaling that same story to Mamie. And then Mamie, of course, always has to figure out a way to tell Asuka Jr. that what she's going to steal. And she gets very creative with her messages. Yeah. And then, you know, like she actually goes and does the thing. And, you know, sometimes it almost feels like it's going to be kind of close, but she always ends up besting him. And it's a lot of fun. It's very interesting because there's a lot of aspect of like, wait, why is Asuka Jr. so obsessed with trying to catch this thief? And for some reason, he gets like this kind of weird badge that like lets him go anywhere he wants, which is like weird. It's like, okay.
I feel like the police force and the politicians are just, they seem very bumbling in this show, which honestly I think is fine, and it's really cute. If I recall, we never see the mayor directly. He's always just kind of spoken of in person by Rina and Asuka Jr. And he's like, yeah, let's let these kids like run around at like these like sometimes high crime like locations in the dark. And you know, that is very interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing that's very common throughout this kind of subgenre of magical girls. But also even some other magical girls before then have like the kind of bumbling police who are just like not good at their jobs. And so like the magical girl has to do all the work. And this is definitely giving that vibe, because constantly what's happening is like Asuka Jr. is going to wherever, and he always comes with like actual police officers, and they're like, okay, so we're gonna, you know, stand guard here. And like, meanwhile, the people that they're protecting are literally criminals, and they never know.
they never can tell, even though these people are sitting there in the corner like twiddling their mustache like, yes. Oh yes, my plan.
It's so ridiculous. And like, it's very clear, like a lot of times they're like not interested in helping him out, but like because of his little magic badge, he can just go wherever and they can't say anything. Like, it's so funny because it's like trying to imagine in real life like a mafioso or whoever like taking this 14-year-old boy seriously because of this, like, it's so silly. But yeah, so it's like a whole thing just all the time. Sometimes he figures out that like he's helping out the bad guys by accident. But sometimes he has no idea, and then his father shows up and is like, anyway, we're going to arrest these people. And it's like he didn't do anything. He just showed up at the very end. So it's very interesting.
It's that tuxedo mask meme again. It's like, my work here is done, but you didn't do anything. Sashays away.
Yes. What's also very interesting is, like, it could be very easy for, you know, Saint Tail to just simply admit what she's doing, like explain that she is helping out these people in the name of God, but she never does.
She almost, in a way, also just kind of reminds me of Robin Hood again, in the same sort of way. It's stealing from the rich to give back to people. I was actually very surprised at how, again, I've seen enough magical girl shows, and sometimes the episodic stories are fine, sometimes they're a little bit dull, but I honestly really appreciated the thought that, like, went into most of the stories here. Like, there was a really interesting one where there's this underclassman girl that has, like, a, they don't really do much of it, but she has a, like, feelings for Asuka Jr., and her parents are trying to set her up with a arranged marriage that she doesn't want. So the veil is what needs to be stolen, but there's, like, this message of, like, yeah, let's not do this to young girls, please, you know? And I was just very relieved, like, at the end when that ends up being taken care of. There was also the, I believe it was like a wedding dress design contest, and these girls stole the other girls' like design, and it was bullying, and it's like, let's take care of this. And I don't know. I actually just got pretty invested in most of the episodic stories. And I appreciated them, honestly. I thought they were pretty good. Not to mention the ways that Mamie has to come through and use her magic to fix things. It actually changed quite often between the episodes, and I was sometimes on the edge of my seat, like, oh, what's she gonna do this time?
Yeah, for sure.
Those details were nice.
Yeah, there's always not always, but sometimes she'll be like on her way home or whatever, and like her father is just like, here's my cool new trick, and it's like, oh well, conveniently that is something that Saint Tail's gonna need later. It's very fun. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of things where it's like you don't know like how she's going to even take things, because like sometimes she has to steal like a bicycle, which is like larger than her. She can't just grab that, or a person. There's like the Iron Chef episode is so weird.
I always remember the horse one too,
Oh yeah. That's
with like the train chase and the
Yeah, she has to steal a whole train to get this horse back to its owner. That was so, again, like very ridiculous but fun.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a good description of a lot of the hijinks in the show, which is very ridiculous but very fun.
Yeah. Some of the stories are like a little absurd in terms of you know, the kind of evil that's being done, but like I don't know, they're not like super unrealistic. So, you know, it's interesting.
I think there were two that I was like a little, I was like, okay, this is a little bit much. One of them was the boy that had like his dolphin friend in the that was a little bit, and then the episode where we meet Ruby, which was a good episode. I like Ruby, and we'll get to talking about her. But wasn't the caper like trying to get Ruby to swallow like a diamond or something? And
Yes, it was so weird. I was like, oh, this is exactly what I need to store my jewels, this hedgehog. It's like so,
yeah,
yeah.
very imposing. Like, I remember him creeping over like the cage, but thankfully they were vague enough with it. I get kind of sensitive about like animal abuse issues, but like
Sure.
thankfully it was more just ridiculous and like goofy
Yes.
than serious.
That was very cute. And, you know, that's an early episode. We can certainly talk about it because that is episode 3. And it's interesting because apparently Ruby doesn't show up in the comic until much later. But
Really?
yeah, like Ruby feels like a very essential part of the story. I mean, I think part of it is, again, I don't know how much was planned like beforehand, because both the animated series and the comics started at the same time. But of course, comics come out monthly while these episodes come out weekly. So yeah, it is an interesting premise and everything. But yeah, that episode is interesting, and then it like sets Ruby up to become this kind of little cute assistant, because like
Yes.
You still need a magical mascot for a magical girl, but like she doesn't have any like magical fairies or anything. The magic, if there is any, is the grace of God, I guess. There's a lot of question marks in terms of how everything works, but I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I love Ruby. I also, after going in between so many precures, I found it refreshing that she doesn't talk. Instead, she just like squeaks. Yeah, but she's cute, and the way that they animate her, she has so much personality. I loved how in a lot of episodes she wanted to go help and be on the case, and then Mamie's like, "No, I need you to stay here," and then she'd get all grumpy. Or occasionally, I think she also was helpful in like hiding that Mamie was out. Like, I think at one point she used like a tape recorder or something to like. That's
So
so wild.
it's so funny. Like, that's a very smart hedgehog for one thing, but like, yeah, just like
Yes.
being able to press pause and play on this tape recorder so that
Well, and
they
she
believe
had a
she's still
sense
home.
too. She was like, "I hear this mom coming in. I have to shield her." Yeah, she was very smart. And I just wonder about the choice of a hedgehog, because that feels very random, but it's cute and I love it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but like I know that hedgehogs as pets have been on and off popular throughout the years.
Oh,
So
okay.
that might be a reason why. But like, I don't know, she's just so cute.
She is. I love how Saint Tail gives her the little ribbon too, so she has a matching one.
Yes, it's very important to be, coordinated.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, so she's an important part of the team on occasion. It kind of gives you the sense that maybe she will be like part of every caper, but after a while she's not at all. She's either going to be at home making sure that Mamie isn't caught going out, or she's being protected by Seda. Because
Yes, oh, that too.
one of the things that we didn't mention but it's important is that for her to get transformed into Saint Tail, maybe actually has to go to church and like she has to pray with Seda in particular. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a detail that actually just slipped my mind, that it was that she specifically had to go to church, which is interesting. And actually, on that note, are you okay if I bring up a discussion point about like the church and religious aspects in this show?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
I know I had a friend of mine who was interested in watching Saint Tail, and their significant other just mentioned being like, "This is really cute, but it's also like really religious," and they were kind of just a bit, I guess, befuddled about that. And while I thought about it in rewatching, I feel like the church and religious aspects do feel a little bit like aged in a way and a little bit strange, but to me, I think that they feel most like decorative motifs for the story instead of really being like, "Hey, we're here to teach you messages about, the teachings of God and what is said and everything." Yeah, also, I actually think it's really cool that Saint Tail works in a blend of religion and magic, because, in a lot of cases, magic is considered like a cult and is pushed away from just like the practice of religion. So it's really cool that she has this hybrid mix. Not to mention they bring up like tarot cards too at a brief point. It's a really interesting just like amalgamation of a lot of motifs. And I don't know if you have more knowledge, but are there other magical girl shows that bring up religion as much as Saint Tail, or is that just this?
Yes, kind of. So, as you mentioned before, Kamikaze Kaito's genre is very
Oh,
similar in
yes.
that it does have a lot of Christian motifs. And I do think that what we're looking at here is the use of Christianity as like motifs or thematic vibes more than anything else. Because even today, like only about 2% of Japanese people are Christian. So it's a very different thing from our perspective, I think, compared to like showing it. And I know this is actually something that was also a factor. My understanding is that when they tried to first dub this in English, they tried to remove references to God, which is like, how do you do that for the show? There's a character who's literally a nun. She's just like in a habit all the time, but okay. And then they decided to like kind of scrap that idea midway through because they realized what they were doing is ridiculous.
Good.
And I don't think there are any other like particular major cuts in that way, but I could definitely understand, coming from a Christian perspective, watching the show, being very confused. It's like, why? But yeah, it's just, again, it's just a matter of using it as like motif.
Yeah.
Kaito-jan is also the same way, in that like that's more like a literal like god versus demons kind of thing in that case. Okay. But like her, you know, item is a cross and all of that.
Right.
I want to say there's like a handful of magical girls who are Christian in like Japanese series, which is a little different, of course. But I think as far as motif, it's rare, but it's like it happens sometimes. And it does feel very much like the same way that like you would, you know, have another story where it's like, oh, this is all like Greek gods or whatever.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And while you were talking about that too, like you said, there are characters with like crosses as well. I think Zakuro in Tokyo Mew Mew, like she also has a cross weapon as well. So yeah, I'm glad you brought up the statistics though too, because I was just like, yeah, where are these private religious schools in Japan and stuff? And
I mean, mission schools like this do exist, but it's basically like, this is also kind of the case in, I think, other countries as well. It's like, well, the Catholic schools are very good schools because, like, you know, just they have good curriculum, etc. They also happen to have the religious aspect, but like, so there are a lot of non-Christians that go to Catholic school for educational reasons. And so I think that that's probably also kind of the same idea here. But yeah, of course, it's it's definitely it can feel very off-putting, I think, if you're not really aware of that.
On that note, with the school, their uniforms are so cute. Can I also just mention that I love their school uniforms with their little berets? They are so cute.
yeah it's they're very interesting colors. It's interesting that like the boys' uniform is so different. It's kind of almost more like a casual suit or something.
Yeah.
There's definitely some like kind of old fashioned ideas here aesthetically, which are pretty fun. They're interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also love, actually, on that note, and this is just a detail in Magical Girl shows that I like, but I also love the variety of casual outfits that Mamie and, I think to a lesser extent, like Seira, that they all wear. I always love that when it's like a different, you have a variety of like different outfits, and they're very 90s. I think Sailor Moon has Saint Tail beat in terms of like very fashionable 90s style, but it's cute to see. Like she has a little t-shirt with apples on it or something, and it's fun. And they do that thing like in Cardcaptor Sakura, at least with her praying before she transforms, where they'll do it in different outfits, and I always appreciate those details.
Yeah, that does happen, which is nice. Yeah, and it's both not very long and not short either. It's 43 episodes. It's an interesting number, but the kind of attention to detail, honestly, overall the whole series is like gorgeously animated throughout. Like,
yes,
I could never find any like inconsistencies with the style or anything. Like, it was very difficult for me to tell who was animating, if that makes sense.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, that was something I was also just very impressed with for the time, is just how nice it was. I mean, you can tell there's like more static, like limited scenes, but to me that's just smart animation tactics. But then they just bust out like some really good sakuga, especially in the last few episodes. My gosh, there's some gorgeous shots.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, so it is just generally really really great. But yeah, so getting to, I guess, the midway point of the series. So, you know, as we said, it's a very, very episodic show for the most part. There are like a few little things that get added throughout, like occasional characters who become regular parts of the cast. But by, you know, midway through, we do have a two-part story, which is about the Crystal Swan. So this is episodes 28 and 29. So this is very interesting because, as you mentioned, you know, Rina is a rival with Asuka Jr. in regard to catching Saint Tail. But by this point, it's very clear it's because she likes Asuka Jr.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty clear from the beginning. And then, like, even after she kind of gives up on trying to catch Saint Tail, because she figures out pretty quickly that it's Mamie.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And then, like, Mamie goes through some tricks that we'll talk about later to convince them that that she's not.
Not her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man.
She had so much work. She had to solve all these cases, but she also had to, like, backtrack and make sure she wasn't leaving any evidence.
Yeah.
She worked hard.
Yeah. So for this one, it kind of takes a turn because Nina's new tactic is to try to get Oscar Jr. basically, I guess, I don't want to say fired because he's not getting paid.
But,
you know, like, she tries to convince her uncle, you know, the mayor, that Oscar Jr. isn't actually trying to catch St. Tail. He's, like, intentionally flubbing it every week or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she decides to give him, like, one last shot.
Right.
And then it's like, if he fails, then that's it. He can't go after her anymore, which I guess just means he won't get his badge. I don't know. I couldn't figure out, like, what that means, actually, because, like, he could leave the house and whatever else. But, yeah, I guess it's, like, a vigilante thing.
Yeah, I guess the idea was that she wanted to stop the chase. And I guess if he was off the case, then the idea would be that then the cops or the people on the case would be like, hey, you have to go home. They'd, like, stop him. But we've already seen that they're not the most competent anyway. So I think her plan was a little bit doomed from the start.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting, like, we can't really tell if Rudina actually believes that this is true, that, like, Oscar Jr. is actually not trying to catch St. Tail. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting thing because, like, you know, by this point, we've had a few different, like, near misses where he almost saw her face, like, really close and things like that. But she always got away at the end. And, you know, with this two-parter, we get, like, this huge plot involving the mayor of another town trying to, like, sneakily get this crystal swan stolen so that they can sell it. I don't know. It's, like, very ridiculous. But, you know, by the end, it ends up with Oscar Jr. kind of figuring out the plot alongside St. Tail, and they have to work together to get the sculpture back. So it is, it's an interesting kind of thing where, you know, he's starting to see by this point, like, he's got a little bit of an idea of this, but he's starting to really see, like, oh, maybe St. Tail isn't actually a bad person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's the, no, I don't think it's the only two-parter, because I think the finale is also, like, a two-parter. But it was an interesting shift halfway through. I also like seeing them work together as well. It's just, it's cute and it shakes up the dynamic where, of course, there's always, like, the chase that's going on. So, yeah, that was pretty nice. I do agree the plot was a little bit ridiculous. It's also not the first ultimatum that Rina gives him, because I remember she, in the earlier episodes, said, you know, if I catch her or prove who it is, you have to, like, date me or something. She's very ultimatum-driven now that I think about
it. Yeah. That's her way of flirting. It's very interesting.
Yes. On that note, too, I did want to mention that I appreciate her as just kind of a rival character. I like that she's a little bit of a tomboy and she's kind of more of a competent female detective.
which I like.
And she's really unafraid to be upfront with Mamie. It was interesting that, like, there was a degree of, like, Mamie being scared of her a little bit because she was so smart. Yeah, I thought she was an interesting character.
She was fun. Like, there were definitely a few times near the beginning of the series where I was seeing these kind of plot points come together, and I was like, am I going to really enjoy this whole show with, like, this, like, love triangle thing? And sometimes a little bit more than a love triangle. But they make it work. They make it, like, not ridiculous.
I agree. Like, yeah. There's a balance. I do feel like her feelings for Oscar Jr. are a little bit forced. But, like, yeah, they kind of start to tone it down after this point that you mentioned. So that helps make it, yeah, a bit, it's more breathable than certain other shows that would keep this until the end. So
yeah. So at this point, I do want to put in our spoiler warning because we are getting into the rest of the series. I wouldn't exactly say the second half, because it's not half, but we're getting in there. So if you haven't watched the series yet, I do recommend you check it out. It is just generally really delightful, pretty much, again, you know, beautiful series to watch, and just, yeah, very lovely time.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, so episode 30 is kind of the I don't want to say the beginning of the end exactly, but it is a big episode because it's the episode where Asuka Jr. recognizes Ruby in a photo with Mamie and is like, wait a second, I know that hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the whole episode is Mamie trying to figure out a way to use her form as, I guess, Mamie and then her identity as Saint Tail to convince Asuka Jr. that she doesn't actually have a pet named Ruby.
Again, she just has to sidestep so many times. I'm honestly impressed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the other thing that's really interesting is, like, we don't really get, like, a whole big deal about, like, what would happen if she was caught, like, in terms of her powers and stuff. We kind of, like, get the vague idea, well, she would have to stop being Saint Tail, and that would be bad because someone needs to do that job. But, like, it's not really clear, like, you know, if there's any other kind of consequence for this. Mm-hmm. And this also just is owing to the fact that, like, we don't know how this all started in the first place. Mm-hmm. Which I still think is, like, a fun difference between, like, this series and other Magical Girl series. But I still want to know the answer.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. There's a lot of, like, vague consequence that is discussed in the show rather than having it be fleshed out. And it's also, I think, partially just that there's no solid villain throughout most of the show. Mm-hmm. It just ends up being, like, whoever in each episode. And I kind of like that to a degree, but also, yes, there's a lot of, like, oh, no, if this happens. And if you take a second to be like, but what, like, really would happen? They don't really give you that much mm-hmm. detail. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting because this series does remind me a lot of the episode that we just had about Poitrine, which is, you know, also a series where for a huge chunk of the series, there is no big bad. Mm-hmm. There is by the halfway point of that series, but, like, for the most part, a lot of the villains are just, like, everyday people as well who have, like, just a little bit of extra something demonic about them because of the big bad that we didn't know about. And so it's, like, the problems are very run-of-the-mill, and mm-hmm. that's also a series with, like, pretty useless police officers.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that it is really interesting to see that kind of same thing happening in this show as well, where it's, yeah, like, most of the stuff, like, the bad guys are just regular people. Like, they always make it seem like they, you know, chose to do bad things. There's even a very interesting episode about someone who used to be a thief, and Saint Tail's trying to help him to not return to a life of crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very interesting episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing too, and now that we're past spoiler territory, I guess I can go more into it. But I think that, again, in kind of separating, like, the focus on a big bad and then emphasizing, like, the chase, the show opens itself up into romance in what I think is, like, a very just, like, very natural and cute way. I will say, I think that the element of romance can be kind of iffy across, like, Magical Girl shows. It's either, like,
sure.
Sometimes it has problematic elements, sometimes it feels forced. I think that the couple in the show is so cute. Like, I really love them. And the whole time I've just been, like, rooting for them. Obviously, like, I'm invested in, like, the identity secrets and the heist and stuff, but I'm also just like, these two are so cute and I would love to see them get together. I don't know your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I actually felt pretty similarly. Like, you know, it's especially for this time, there are certainly a lot of romances where I'm like, okay, come on. This is kind of, I'm not really feeling this actually, and this is, like, part of the whole show, so now I just gotta deal with this every week. So, you know, there are certainly a lot that I'm not very enthusiastic about, but this series, like, you know, especially because it's, like, I knew that going into it there was this kind of romantic aspect, I was pleasantly surprised that I didn't hate it, you know?
Yeah!
Like,
yeah.
I mean, certainly they could use some help with, like, communication skills, especially at the beginning, you know, like, and Oscar Jr., bless his soul, is like very much, he's not necessarily always very bright. He doesn't really pick up on things.
But he's so dumb in like a very endearing way.
Yes.
I kind of like that aspect as well. It seems like they're on a more even playing field versus, like, I've been rewatching the first season of Sailor Moon. I just got these nice Blu-rays and I love it, but I love that it's not like Mamie, and when she's Saint Tail and she's down in the dumps, it's Oscar Jr. who comes in and is like, wait, here is my wisdom. I'm giving you the clue. No, like, honestly, mm-hmm. he learns and is influenced by her a lot of the time. And sometimes she just kind of like laughs about like how dumb he is. And she's like, oh, that's so cute. And I mean, that a lot.
You could probably talk about it in terms of like there being a power imbalance because he doesn't know that she's Saint Tail for most of the show. That part's a little like, okay. But like for the most part, like, you know, we kind of know that, you know, by the end of the series, he's going to find out.
And
what is that going to mean? And it was very interesting to see that, you know, again, after like all these other, you know, pretty run-of-the-mill episodes down to, you know, the dolphin episode that you mentioned. We finally, in the last month, the last four episodes, we get like this very interesting sudden switch over to like actual big bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with finally learning the details of Mamie's mother's past. And this was very confusing to me because like throughout the whole series, Mamie's mother, whose name is Amy, is like, yeah, that's my daughter. She's just like me. And it's like, what does that mean? And so it's like, it kind of becomes, it feels a little obvious. It's like, oh, she must also be a phantom thief. Mm-hmm. But then when, you know, episode 40 comes around, Amy is like, oh, Mamie, you know how like I was a phantom thief?
Yeah.
And Mamie's like, yeah. And I was like, wait, you knew? Wait, what?
Again, it's like, why didn't we have like the more of the origins in the back? Because I'm also like, did she become Saint Tail because she was like carrying on her mother's tradition? Like, we just don't get any of that.
Yeah. It is interesting, especially because it's like the way that it comes up, it's like so casual, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, oh, let me tell you about my past in more detail. But it's like, wait. It's felt all this time like this was going to be a big reveal that like mm-hmm. even Mamie didn't know about. And then it's just like, by the way, your housewife mom definitely used to be a phantom thief. And her code name at the time was Kaito Lucifer, which is a very interesting choice.
Right.
Because it is, you know, quite literally the opposite of, you know, Saint Tail.
Yes.
And so, you know, she learns about how like, in her past, she regretted stealing things, so she decided to return everything. But there was one last thing that she needed to return, and so Mamie helps her out to do that, which is very cute. It's a very sweet thing for a daughter to do for her mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before we get past episode 40, what I really like about this episode is this is really the moment where Oscar Jr., he thinks about like why he's pursuing Saint Tail, and he's just like, you remind me of the girl I like. And in the realm again of magical girl shows where it's like the love interest is interested in like the hero, I really love that his turn is actually, no, I like Mamie the girl, you know?
Yeah.
That shift is honestly really nice. And I still can't believe that we got this really sweet, like, confession scene where apparently he stays out in the rain for, like, the next 12 hours. There's just this, like, montage of him sitting and thinking. And then mm-hmm. in this, like, fever stupor, he's like, oh, what's at the end of the rainbow? And he, like, runs. And then you see Mamie walking at, like, the end of the rainbow. It was really cute. And he's just like, all right, I'm going to pass out. But before I do, I love you.
It was so cute. Yeah, it was like, it was very, it just felt so wholesome. Thank you for reminding me because that was very important, especially because for these last three episodes, they are like an item now. And it's very interesting.
No, again, I'm not used to that stuff. I always assume it's going to be in like the last 5 minutes of a series. So it was actually really cute and fun to see that happen. And then it also brings a slightly different dynamic to the identity reveal. And I think Mamie wrestles with it a little bit beforehand, you know, because she's like, well, now I am with him and I should be honest. And she starts to feel guilty about that. So
yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. And it comes to the point where she's feeling like she's going to have to like stop being Saint Tail at the minimum before everything like kind of blows out of proportion. And, you know, which makes sense. And I think that's really like, it's also very good to show like her grappling with that. The idea of like, again, like the fact that there is this power dynamic because he doesn't know that, you know, and so she feels very guilty. And I think it's really, it's really nice. But then after that, we get this character who kind of shows up a little bit in this episode, but doesn't fully appear until 41. And that is the character of Maju. She's like a little fortune teller, but she has like hypnotic abilities and seems to use like incense, basically, to hypnotize people. And so she creates a trap for Saint Tail. And this is also interesting because, and this only happened one other time before, where there's like one episode where Saint Tail didn't give a notice to Asuka Jr. And he was so upset.
Yes.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
He's just like, our cat and mouse game has rules. You have to adhere to these.
Yes. Yes. And everyone's like, why do you care so much? But for this particular issue, like she wants to do this like without getting revealed. Mm-hmm. So she gives Asuka Jr. a false notice, basically, which is really interesting. So like with that, we learn about Maju and we learn about Maju's mother, who is also a phantom thief, who I guess her cover got blown when she was still a phantom thief by Mamie's mother, Kaito Lucifer. Yeah. And she is Rosemary. Well, that's her code name anyway, which is interesting. So like, it's like, again, this is very interesting because this is like the very last minute in terms of the story. I really would expect this kind of like plot point to come up, I don't know, earlier, at least like mention the characters or something, but sure.
It does feel like it was one of those anime original, we've got to push to have some sort of finale sort of things. Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested in just knowing if these characters are in the manga at some point. I'm not really sure. But it was also implied, too, that Rosemary was the rival of Saint Lucifer. Not Saint Lucifer.
Yeah. Kaito Lucifer, yeah.
Kaito Lucifer, thank you.
Yes, yes. That would be a very interesting
Saint Lucifer. Yeah, no. That's too far in crossover. Yeah, but in episode 40, when her mom is talking about that, she's like, oh, my like rival came and she was just spiteful and she stole for stealing. I thought it was implied that this was like her rival character, but maybe they don't overtly say it. I can't recall.
Yeah, no, they do talk about them being rivals. But it's like, it felt like one of those things where it's like, it's more of a rivalry on one side than the other, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense.
That was kind of the vibe I got, yeah. So this fortune teller girl, Maju, uses her hypnotic powers to find out who Saint Tail is.
Right.
And then now she realizes that like she has to keep Asuka Jr. away from these people who are coming after her as Saint Tail, because they might tell him who she is. Mm-hmm. So for the last two episodes, so we have this like really interesting thing where she is going to try to take something from Rosemary herself, uses this giant blimp, and also uses Rosemary's real name, which apparently is like a whole thing that like she hated about her mother also, is that like she, you know, basically doxed her. My gosh. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I also did want to mention, shout out to Seda, when Mamie's considering just like stopping being Saint Tail, there's this moment that's kind of comedic where Seda's like, well, if I have to, I can like take up the role. And there's this little like image of her dressed in the like Saint Tail outfit, which is just super cute.
Yes, yes.
And Mamie's like, no, no, you don't have to do that. But also there's some times where she kind of helps with like disguises and stuff.
Yes, yes.
Which was also fun because like she could easily just be like the nice nun that sits around and talks to people, but like sometimes she gets actively involved, and that was also cool.
Yeah, again, it's so interesting because it's like this girl, she's also a teenager. She wants to be a nun for whatever reason. It's very young to have figured that out as like a Japanese girl, but sure. And, you know, we still don't know like how she got wrapped up in all this stuff, but like she's like found this like very particular path in life. And like also she's basically collecting gossip, which is so interesting.
It's true. I mean, isn't there probably some sort of thing that it's like when people come to see her, it's in confidence, and then it's like not because she tells Mamie? I don't know.
Yeah, don't know it's so interesting. That. She will find these people who are like clearly like just down in the dumps, and it's like, oh, please tell me everything. And then they do because they trust her. And it's like, I mean, again, this is like, because of like the motif aspect of it and stuff, I don't think they thought so deeply about it. And it's like, well, we know she's good and we know Saint Tail is good, so it's fine that they're doing this.
Whenever she's just like, God will fix it for you. It's actually like a 15-year-old girl with the blessing of God and doing the work. So
Yes.
It turns out okay.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so we get to like this like kind of, you know, final battle, if you will, between Saint Tail and Rosemary and also Maju, her daughter. She announces she's going to take back these things from Rosemary. And so she's going to do so. But unbeknownst to her, they have also taken Asuka Jr. Yeah. And this is like a whole thing because like episode 42 is so intense and like so heartbreaking because it's like she does what she can. She doesn't know Asuka Jr. is there. There's like, what's it called? A two-way mirror that Asuka Jr. is looking through. Yes.
Oh, it's so sad.
Through the ensuing fight, her ribbon comes off. And so he sees very clearly that Saint Tail is Mamie. And he doesn't know what to do with this information. He's like, I think at some point he claims it's like a trick, you know, like that they're tricking him into thinking that it couldn't possibly be true and so on. Yeah, I don't know. There's like a lot of stuff between them and then like Rosemary and Maju. And it's like, kind of whatever, like they very are doing a lot of info dumping on these characters in the very last few episodes. So
yeah, I liked Maju's design, but I wouldn't say I was like super involved in them, more as that they were like a mechanism to be like, okay, let's do some like, let's do some big plot stuff.
Sure. Yeah, it was like an interesting choice there. And again, I don't know how they appear in the comic, if at all. Maybe they do. But in any case, you know, Asuka Jr. has been missing for a few days, and Mamie thinks maybe he has been kidnapped. He's trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. Like, why would Mamie be Saint Tail and not tell him? And then Mamie decides, okay, it's time. I have to, one last time, save Asuka Jr. So that's the last episode. It's really, really cute, especially because she, you know, has been sending these messages throughout. And the very last one that is delivered by Ruby, she gets to do one last thing to help. Because each one is like, oh, I'm going to be taking this thing. And so this time is like, I'm going to be taking back Asuka Jr. And it's like, aww, so cute. And then, you know, when he is like mentioning like, oh, this is a notice from her, Maju's like, wow, boys are so stupid. It's clearly a love letter. And then he's like, oh my God. He's like, there's like a montage of every single notice that he's ever gotten. It's like, so cute.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. I also just remember the setting for like this this final mission being crazy. Like she's in a building that I can't remember if it was under effects of like hypnosis and if it was an illusion, but like I remember she's running through this building and like pillars are like falling apart and stuff like all around
her. Oh yeah, yeah. And it's, like, there's a lot of illusion work stuff going on with the magical incense hypnosis. That, I don't know.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I mean, it really came through as like an action-packed finale, and I thought that was pretty cool.
yeah. And so it's a really exciting ending. It feels really tough for a bit there, but she's able to get them out, and she's using like her balloons, which is like a big thing. She's always floating around on balloons or using balloons to stop her falls and so on. She's able to get them out, and they're somehow in a church, which is fine for the last part. Like, I guess there was a church next to this mansion or whatever. But yeah, and so they're like surrounded by all these balloons that are like a little weak at this point. And Ruby's there too. They finally are like, well, it's time to pack up being Saint Tail, because Saint Tail has been captured. And yeah. It's so cute.
She's been caught and he's just like holding her and he's just so happy. He's just like, oh, I caught you. And I'm like, ah, my feelings. It's so sweet.
Yes. Again, it's like such a wholesome relationship, all things considered.
Yes, yes. And it goes back to, there was an earlier episode in the first half where Saint Tail visits Asuka Jr. and she's just like, if one person is going to catch me, I want it to be you. And so it's just, it all comes full circle. It's very sweet.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So it is just like generally just a very lovely series. And then at the very end of this episode, we also get a little time skip.
Time skip, yep.
Yeah, 8 years in the future. So we get to see several of the characters, you know, grown up. Whatever they were obsessed with in junior high school has now become their profession. We actually don't know what Mamie does. It's not clear.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that Asuka Jr. proposes to her in the same church. And it's so cute.
Yes. She cut her hair. And I was like, oh no, why? But it makes sense. It's just for character development. And I guarantee you that time skip is probably not manga canon, I would guess. But again, it's a cute way to just like wrap up the series. I feel like in terms of needing to do an anime original, I think that they closed up the series really nicely. Mm-hmm. It was in a way that it definitely felt fulfilling. And also, it kind of definitely lends itself to then that spinoff again, where it's the same pattern, I think, as what happened with her mom and her dad, where it's like they found love and then they they quit being a phantom thief, I guess. And then someone else is going to come down and carry the torch. But in the spinoff that's being presented, I don't think it's implied that it's Mamie and Asuka's like child, like a lot of other spinoffs.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that at all. It's So it is. It's called Kaito Saint Tail Girls, and it does have like two other characters, and it's just basically like the connection is, you know, the outfit is the same, but also they live in the same town.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like someone else had to pick up that mantle in particular.
Got it.
We have a new character. It's interesting because it was developed via an art contest on Pixiv. Yeah. So, you know, you got like a completely different artist doing it, who was clearly like a fan of Saint Tail and got the chance to make a sequel. So that's really cool. But yeah, that started in 2018. I don't know if it's still going, actually, now that I think about it. I have to look into it a bit more, but yeah.
I do kind of like that idea that it's from a fan, because I think that they can find interesting ways to innovate rather than just the creator kind of rehashing. I haven't read it, but I think that's one of my worries with like the new Mermaid Melody, is that it's going to be like very similar.
It is very similar. I can definitely tell you that.
So I'd be very interested in seeing what the Saint Tail Girls does.
Mm-hmm.
Again, who knows if it will be localized. Speaking of that, actually, too, I know that Saint Tail received a full English dub as well. But again, it's kind of lost in obscurity now, because it was, I think it was released in like small episode batches here in like 4 or 6 episode sets. And I don't know if they ever released like the full series. So I've seen clips of it. Like, I think instead of a lot of 1, 2, 3, they had Mamie say things like, hey, everybody, the show's about to start, or just kind of cutesy things like that. But that's about all I know about the dub.
Yeah. You know, there are a few different dubs. This was also released in the Philippines, in South Korea, in Taiwan, and also Italy, and I think Mexico as well. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's quite popular. But it's very common in the time, I think. But yeah, it's like, you know, this very interesting kind of like thing. The influence of this series is both in, you know, Magical Girls. I think it looks like a Magical Emmy is a credited like influence on the series, which makes sense because she's very, very magician based.
Magician, yeah.
Yeah. And then also, of course, Lupin the Third is a big one. And then also Cat's Eye is another one.
Oh,
I'm not sure
okay.
how popular that is outside of Japan, but it was a big series here, I think. That's like a little bit of an older audience. Those are like adult women.
Yeah.
The same kind of thing is like Fujiko in Lupin the Third.
I also forgot to mention that when I was watching Saint Tail, I was also concurrently watching Lupin the Third, The Woman Called Fujiko Mine. So I think I just very much at that time was really, really into like the thievery and the like thief shenanigans. And they're both great, very different audiences. But yes, it's fun to see those two associate together. Yeah.
And this, you know, the series in general, it's very... very fun. Again, like all things considered, especially the time that it was made, it's like so unique and interesting.
Yeah.
And all of that. Yeah. So that being said, we do have to talk about one small problematic element that does happen in one episode, which is, you know, saying a lot for a 95 series.
There's and only like 40 one problematic episodes? Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is in episode 10, I believe. During the midst of, you know, Rina being this kind of rival for Asuka Jr. to try to capture Saint Tail. And at this point, she has told Asuka Jr., I think Mamie is Saint Tail.
Yes.
Which is like, again, wild. It's very early in the series that this happened. So she says if she can prove it, then Asuka Jr. must become Rina's boyfriend. If not, then, you know, Rina will stop stalking Mamie, which is what she's been doing for the past few episodes. yeah. and so in this episode, in order to kind of trick both Rina and Asuka Jr. and, you know, make them think that she is not Saint Tail, she figured out this way to, like, take people in and out of costumes and uniforms. So she took an unconscious guard in the place where they were, because this was a Ruby Jewel episode.
Yes.
She just kind of basically switched out his clothes so that when they went to grab Saint Tail, what they grabbed was a man dressed as Saint Tail. And that got a lot of weird reactions, especially from Asuka Jr., but, you know, also from Rina. And then, like, there was the whole thing where they're like, you know, both like, oh, well, Saint Tail's actually a man. So, whoops, it can't be Mamie. And somehow that all is sorted out. And it's like, it's very uncomfortable, very awkward situation, especially with Asuka Jr. in particular. He uses a slur in reference to the man dressed up as Saint Tail. And yeah, just not a fun time. But unfortunately, that episode is also very important to the plot.
Yes, it really just did feel like, oh, okay, yeah, we're in the 90s and there's really not understanding of people that aren't people that aren't just like, you know, cis or, and all of it's like assumption too. Like he also just assumes that that person must be like creepy and stuff. And yeah, it's just, it's very antiquated. And it was pretty wild to hear that slur. I haven't heard that particular slur in years. Because it's just, it's very dated.
Yes.
And yeah, I wonder as well how that was addressed in the dub now that I think about it. But yeah, it's very, to me, like a minor blip on the series. I feel like, if anything, it's not even problematic. You could look at some of the ways that the romance is portrayed as a little bit traditionalist, like even her whole thing of being like, you know, once I'm captured, I will become a housewife. But like, it's, you know, that's really like, that's really if you dig. Overall, again, I think that it's a very cute and honestly for its time, like very forward thinking show. So, yeah. Also, who knows if that was all just anime original. Maybe that's not in the manga as well, you know.
Yeah, it's like just a very unfortunate choice. So I, again, haven't read the comic yet, so I can't compare. But in any case, yeah, it's a little wild. Now, I can't be sure, but in terms of like dubs from this time that also use that word, I find that it often does not like get directly translated into the same slur in English.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, but yeah, it's an unfortunate thing where that word is still used, not like a lot, but it's not like I haven't heard it recently in, you know, like modern day Japan. But, you know, as far as like kids shows go and stuff, it's not being used as frivolously, I guess, as it used to be.
That's good.
Yes. Small improvement. Yes. But yeah, with that being said, was there anything else that you wanted to mention in regards to Saint Tail?
I think I had a brief note also that there's an ongoing gag that Mamie's parents are like still sappily, like really, really in this like romantic love. Like they'll get lost yes. in these little like flirtatious moments. And I think that's so cute.
They are so in love with each other. It's so wholesome. Yeah. It's so awesome.
Mamie's just standing there and she's just like, ah, they're being so silly. It's very funny.
Yeah, because and especially for a Japanese show from the 90s, it's like so unheard of to see parents be like this into each other and like so romantic. Yeah. And like, of course, Mamie's so embarrassed, but like it's so cute. And, you know, part of the kind of backstory of Amy or her mother is actually finding out the story of how they met, which was like so cute also. Because, like, he helps her out when she is, like, injured and needs to escape the police. And it's like, that's a real one right there. You got to stick with him forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love when she's just like, well, you have to hide me. He's like, oh, okay, well, here. And then he just, like, covers her in roses. And he's like, this is the best I can do.
Again, just so wholesome and awesome. I just, we do have to give them a shout out for being, like, the coolest couple in the whole series. They're so cute.
I thought that was fun, just especially as like watching it as an adult. I'm like, hey, adults who are like happy and fulfilled and in love, that's great.
So. yes you love to see it.
I think that's about it on my end, but mm-hmm. I didn't know where else to put that, so
for sure. I think in general, you know, again, like each episode on its own is like just so fun and interesting, despite like the premise. You might think it might get a little like boring, but it is a really good time. And you know, it's interesting to see like what kind of other ridiculous evil people they can come up with, mm-hmm. because they're all very much just everyday villains.
It's also just nice to see the awareness of like Saint Tail as a presence, you know. Mm-hmm. I always appreciate that sort of thing, and how they'll all be like gossiping about what happened in like the last episode with Saint Tail, and then Mamie's just kind of like sitting there, like, especially when people make false accusations. I actually really love how when she would fight with Asuka Jr. and they'd argue and he'd be like, no, I'm gonna capture her, and she's like, well, no, Saint Tail's too smart to do XYZ, and I'm like, that's a little close. I don't know if I'd be speaking like, you know, Saint Tail to Asuka, but sure, go ahead. Yeah.
But again, you know, Asuka just goes right over his head for a whole year of content. He's very funny. Yeah.
Oh, I also think my favorite way that she sends a message to him is when he like wakes up and he is going to brush his teeth, and then he goes in the kitchen and his dad's like, did you check on your face? And he goes in the bathroom and she wrote the capture message on his face, like in marker or something. That was cute.
Yes. Yeah, there are so many interesting ones. Like, even if you haven't watched the series, I think the Wikipedia page does list out all of the different ways that she leaves a notice. They can get a little ridiculous sometimes, but they're a lot of fun. There is one episode where her friends Kyoko and Ryoko decide that they're going to also try to capture Saint Tail.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Asuka Jr. is he's always failing, and they're like, well, I bet we can do it. And he's like, fine, whatever. They have Mamie join as a member of their detective team, and she's like, this is awkward. And then there's like a whole thing where like she has to deliver a notice to Asuka Jr. Like, that's like a thing that she must do. It's very serious. Mm-hmm. But because like the other girls are kind of basically stalking Asuka Jr., it becomes really difficult for her. And they're just like trying to, you know, grab whomever comes even near him to be like, are you Saint Tail? And so she had to try really hard and was able to finally slip it in his pocket and then just kind of bounce.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I was going to mention episode 39 because I'm revisiting this, but apparently in episode 39, which is that ridiculous dolphin one, the note explodes from a pigeon egg left on top of Asuka Jr.'s head.
Yes.
Like, what?
So ridiculous.
There's actually quite a few that explode, and I find that very funny.
Yes. So just a lot of really ridiculous stuff.
They had fun, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also the fact that we didn't mention this before, but there are two different episodes where people leave fake notices to him.
Oh, yeah.
Pretending to be Saint Tail, one of them being the Crystal Swan episode. But Yeah, there's an earlier one that was like about someone who wanted to make their perfume like a hot seller. So they're like, well, obviously Saint Tail would go after it because it's worth so much and that's going to help jump up the price. And it's like so wild. Yeah.
Tactics, yes.
But yeah, I think that is everything that we have to talk about with Saint Tail. Again, just such a fun episode, a fun series in general to talk about. So that leaves us with our last question, which is, Kemi, have you ever imagined a magical persona for yourself?
Oh, I would love to, honestly. The closest I think I ever got to that was just like when I was a kid, my friends and I would play like the future generation of like Sailor Moon, you know? And so we were like so and so's daughter. I think I was Chibiusa and Helios's daughter, like when we played it. And
Oh
then,
my God, awesome.
yeah, there was a point where I did like some role playing stuff, and there was a Tokyo Mew Mew one, so I had my own like Mew Mew character who was fused with like a red panda. But you know, like,
Oh, interesting.
yeah, other than that, I don't think I've ever had a persona. It's more that I admire these characters, and so I'll be like, okay, well, I want to channel my like inner like Sailor Senshi today or something like that. I do think that would be very cool to have a persona though, so maybe I'll have to think about it.
Sounds good. Definitely let us know when that happens.
Yes.
So yes, thank you so much for coming on the podcast to talk about Saint Tail. Where can people find you and follow you online?
Okay, so I have two places. I'm pretty active, always talking about like anime and magical girls on Twitter. You can find me at Kamikins, CamiKins 19X. And you can also find me on YouTube where I do some vocal covers. And like I said before, I make some AMVs. That's Cami Chan 19. I'm not quite as active anymore because I'm an adult with a 40-hour job, but I do love
Sure.
AMVs and I like to make them when I can. And just recently in exploring magical girls, I'm trying to make more magical girl focused ones. So yeah, find me on Twitter or YouTube.
Perfect. Great. So, yes, thank you again for coming on, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Please subscribe, rate, and review if you like it, and don't forget to tell your friends about the show if you think they'd be interested. If you use social media, don't forget to use the hashtag SparkleSideChats when talking about and sharing the podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at MagicalGirlAyu, spelled AYU, and you can find me at Ayu She Knows, AYUSHEKNOWS. You can also email us at sparklesidechats@gmail.com. Let us know if there's a topic you want covered or a fan or creator you want to hear from by filling out the form in the show notes. You could also join the Discord for this podcast to talk about magical girls 24/7, often chatting directly with me and both previous and upcoming guests of the podcast. Look for the link in the show notes. Show notes can be found on your platform of choice or at anchor.fm/sparkleside. If you can support the podcast financially, you can buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/ayushinos. You can also commission me for art there or buy a print on my imprint page. With a Ko-fi monthly membership, you can get bonus content, announcements about episode topics, a Discord role, and your name read aloud on the podcast monthly. Another way to support us one time is by buying something off the Amazon Japan wishlist. This helps with getting more access to Magical Girl content that we can discuss in future episodes. Feel free to purchase from the used section as we are not picky here. Original podcast music is by Hazel. You can find her on Twitter at A Few Bruises. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you are magical.